Welcome, friends, to Inspirational Truths, a time for exploring truths from God's timeless book. My name is Todd Price. I believe that song and the message for today will be a blessing to each of you. So with that in mind, it is my privilege to introduce to you the founder of Inspirational Truths, my father, Tom Price.
Well, greetings, friends. My name is Tom Price, and I'm always happy to say it's Inspirational Truth time once again, and to greet you in the blessed name of Christ, my Savior. And all, friend, if He isn't yours, He wants to be. If He isn't yours, He came to be. If He isn't yours, friend, He wants to be. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. It'd be a great day for you to give your life to the Lord. It'd be a great day, friend, that you would never forget, that you'd never forget when God brought you out of the kingdom of darkness and placed you into the kingdom of light. And that can happen to you. It can happen to you instantaneously. It can happen to you gloriously, friend. You can give Him something old, and He'll give you something new. Matter of fact, He'll make you brand new. The Word of God said, if any man be in Christ Jesus, he is a new creature. Old things pass away, behold, all things become new. I'll tell you, He'll give you not only life. He's already done that, but He'll give you eternal life if you'll just repent of your sins and by faith receive Christ as your Savior. Well, excited about the program, excited about the message God has laid on my heart, excited about the song Deb's got picked out here for this message and for this day, and we trust that it'll be a blessing to you. I've opened my Bible to the book of Psalm. It's not chapter 110, but it's Psalm 110. It's a songbook, a prayer book, and you know what? I've never seen the first songbook in all of my life that had chapters in it. But this Psalm 110 is a great Psalm. The Lord's laid it on my heart. I'll read all 7 verses, the Lord willing. And we'll look together, you and I will, by the grace of God, for the glory of God, we'll look at verse 4 as we think about, here's what I'm going to preach about, the good Lord willing. We'll talk about Melchizedek and the Messiah. Melchizedek and the Messiah. Listen, you enjoy this song Debbie has written, would you? Title of it is, Who is this King? Well, the Word of God tells us, if you open the gates, the King of Glory will come in. You can come to know Him personally today if you ask Him into your heart and life. Enjoy. I'll be back in a moment.
In the town that's called Bethlehem, so many years ago, there was a King that was born. He was born in a stable. But most did not realize what had taken place. This King had come down to enter the human race. Born in Bethlehem, oh,
what, friend? The most important question is, do you know Him? Do you know Him personally? It's not enough to know about Him. It's not enough to know facts about Him. Not enough to know where you can read about Him in the Word of God. Friend, you must know Him in the free pardon and forgiveness of sin. Listen, He's not only a King, but He's a Savior. That's what He wants to be for you today, to you today. He is for you today, but He wants to be that to you. And if you don't trust Him as your Savior, I'll guarantee you, according to the Word of God, one day you'll stand before Him as He judges you before your eternity. The book of Psalm 110, I'm talking to you about Melchizedek and the Messiah. Listen to what David the psalmist said as he began to put pen to paper and write this beautiful messianic psalm. A psalm that no doubt at all points to the Messiah, God's anointed, His only begotten Son, that Deliverer, that One that was to come to fulfill the Word of God. David began to write, and he said this in Psalm 110 verse 1. He said, "The Lord said unto my Lord," meaning he said, "Jehovah said unto my Lord." That's exactly my Adonai. Jehovah said unto my Adonai. And listen, David was king. So if he was calling and referring to somebody else as king, as his Lord, it must have been Jesus Christ. It must have been the Son of God. He said, God did. He said, Jehovah, David said unto Adonai, "Sit at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool." Oh, that's an exalted position, is it not? Under which of the angels said he at any time, "I've sat on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool"? He didn't say that. I'm about to get happy right now. He didn't say that to any of the angels, but he did say it to the virgin-born Son of Mary, who was His only begotten Son, who was not only the Son of Man, but He was the Son of God. "And Jehovah and Adonai shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion, and rule thou in the midst of thine enemies." He said, "The people shall be willing in the day of thy power, and the beauties of holiness from the womb of the morning thou hast to do of thy youth." Now listen to verse 4. He said, "The Lord," meaning Jehovah, and I know I just said Adonai, but it's Jehovah, "has sworn and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. The Lord at thy right hand shall strike through kings in the day of His wrath. He shall judge among the heathen. He shall fill the places with the dead bodies. He shall wound the heads over many countries, and he shall drink of the brook in the way. Therefore shall he lift up the head." Look at verse 4 again, if you will, and listen to what it says. "The Lord has sworn and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek." Again, I want to talk to you for a little while today about Melchizedek and the Messiah. Melchizedek and the Messiah. Well, you might say, "Preacher, those are strange names to me altogether." Well, I hope by the time we're done with this message, you'll be a little clearer on him. You'll have a little more understanding of it. But this Psalm 110 is one of the great psalms that there is out of the 150. It is a messianic psalm. I'm telling you, friend, it takes a remarkable prominence among the psalms. It may not be above them, but it has a prominence among them without a doubt. And it's got a prominence definitely in the New Testament. Scholars tell me that at least 30 times this psalm is referred to or quoted from or alluded to in the New Testament, and no less than 10 times it is referred to or alluded to in the book of Hebrew, as we'll find out before this message is done. Even verse 4, they tell me that verse 4 itself is mentioned at least 5 times itself. And oh, what a great passage it is. What a great body of truth that it is, as we think about Melchizedek am the Messiah. Oh, the Bible tells us by the inscription itself that David the king of Israel, David the sweet psalmist of Israel, David that man after God's own heart, was the author of this very beautiful psalm. He was moved by the Holy Spirit of God. And oh friend, it's remarkable for many reasons. Do you know that? I mean, it's not only a revelation, but it is a prophecy. And I'll be honest, I was provoked at this thought, but I can't help but wonder, as the author that I read after, I can't help but wonder how David felt as he wrote these words. And as he read those words, listen unto what they said, Gad. The Lord saith unto my Lord, the Lord has sworn and will not repent. He was saying, listen, somebody higher than me said this. Somebody higher than me said something about a Lord that's higher than me. David's words were used by our Lord a couple of times in the latter days of his life to prove that he'd been virgin born, to prove that he was of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I'm telling you, friend, David may have not known much about this passage of Scripture, but I'm telling you, thank God, he knew somebody did. What he didn't understand, he knew God understood it. And now when David began to pen verse 4 and he began to lift up Melchizedek, hey, I believe he knew who King Melchizedek was. I believe he knew that he was King of Righteousness. I believe he knew that he was King of Salem. I believe he knew that he was King of Peace, just like Paul tells us in Hebrews chapter 7 verse 2. And oh, what a great passage of Scripture that is. Don't you think? Listen to what the writer said under the inspiration of the Spirit of God. He said, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being by interpretation King of Righteousness, after that also King of Salem, and remember Jerusalem. Listen to that. And he said, which is King of Peace. Oh, look, I don't know how much David knew, but I'll tell you this, the Holy Spirit of God knew. God knew that was moving the heart and the hand of this man David to put on the parchment this great prophecy and revelation that he did about the Messiah, his son that was to come. Listen, I don't know what all he knew about Melchizedek, but he knew some. I wonder if he didn't call for his parchment. Wonder if he didn't call for the Pentateuch. Wonder if he didn't call for one of the scribes or the priests and say, all right, now fellas, remind me where this story about Melchizedek and Abraham is. I need to read it. I want to know. He knew about Messiah. Yes, he did. How about what did Messiah and Melchizedek have to do with each other? What in the world did a son of his that he was going to have that come out of the tribe of Judah, a tribe which God had never said anything about serving under the altar? What in the world would his son have to do with the priesthood, with Melchizedek? Listen to what Hebrews says in chapter 7, verse 13 and following. For he of whom these things are spoken pertaineth to another tribe, of which no man gave utterance at or attendance at the altar. For it is evident that our Lord sprang out of Judah, of which tribe Moses spake nothing concerning the priesthood. And yet it is far more evident. For after the similitude of Melchizedek, there rises another. Thank God. Hey, again, may I say, what David didn't know, God did know. And yet David knew that the Holy Spirit of God that moved on him, moved through him, had to write what he had written. So you know what? Bless God, so it would be written. Down these seven verses, we have something beautiful. In verses 1 through 3, we have the king exalted. In verse 4, we have the king or the priest consecrated. In verses 5, 6, and 7, we have him vindicated as conqueror. I'm telling you, friend, listen, this is great truth. This is holy ground that we're marching on today. Melchizedek, to me, is one of those great, but somewhat unique characters that we find recorded about or we find in the Word of God. Hey, listen, friend, he was mentioned in the book of Genesis, chapter 14, historically. We see him here in Psalm 110, prophetically. You go on over in the Word of God, the book of Hebrews, and you'll find him doctrinally. Oh, I'm telling you, Melchizedek was one of those great characters that God presents to those who read his blessed word. Listen, his person is somewhat mysterious to me, like I told you. Even great scholars differ as to who this Melchizedek was. This one that the writer said, he hath no mother and father, and no beginning of days nor ending of life. Meaning probably, but yet I don't know, that he had no genealogy. And isn't it amazing? Isn't it amazing? In chapter 5 of Genesis, God moved Moses to write about the genealogy of the world in that day. Now some scholars say that this was Seth, who was one of the sons of Noah, still alive. But others disagree with that. The others say and I'm one of those that does, by the way, believe he could have been a pre-incarnate appearance of Christ, which is known as a Christophany. That's who I think it was. Thank God. You have to make up your mind. I'll tell you what, though, whether it was Shem or some other man who was a man, thank God, listen, I'll tell you what, he's a picture of the Messiah, is he not? He's a picture of our Lord in the priesthood that God called him to. Whoever, friend, he was, we know that he was a type of Christ, and whoever he was, we know that he was both priest and king. Thank God, that'll make a Baptist shout. Listen, that was something that no priest in Israel could ever be, and that's something that no king in Israel could ever be, although a man by the name of Uzziah tried it, ended up with leprosy, and died that way. But I'll tell you what he does do. He prefigures Christ in several ways. You say, how is that, preacher? Well, number one, he prefigures Christ in that he was made a priest forever. Oh, thank God. Let me say that again. He was made a priest of God forever. Look at verse 24 of chapter 7 of the book of Hebrews. He said, but this man, he said, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. I want to say glory to God right there. Y'all know what Aaron was the first high priest of the nation of Israel. And I'm going to tell you something. You may disagree, but in many ways, I believe the death of Aaron was harder on those men and women that came out of Egypt than what the death of Moses was. You say, why? Well, Aaron was the man that that represented them before God. Aaron was the one that carried them on his shoulders. Aaron was the one that carried him on his breastplate. Aaron was the one that had their names on his heart. And when Aaron died, they had to wonder, well, you know, I wonder whether old Eliphaz will understand us or not. I wonder if his old boy really gets us like Aaron did. I'm telling you, though, friend, listen, we have a high priest, thank God, which can be touched with the feeling of our infirmity. And you say, how could that be, preacher? Well, he was made like you and I. He, friend, listen, who was and is and always shall be, took upon himself the form of a man and the fashion of man and the form of a servant. Maybe I've got that backwards, but I'm telling you, friend, listen, I bless God, I'm Melchizedek. He prefigures Christ in that he presents to us a priest that has a priesthood that is unchangeable and continual. He's always there. Listen today, beloved, we've got a man in glory that understands us. Not only, friend, is he a priest forever with an unchangeable priesthood. Listen, I want you to know, and it's already been said, he was both priest and king. Isn't that wonderful? He was superior. Thank God he had power. Oh, thank God, listen, he was ruling both religiously in the priesthood and royally in his kingship. Oh, friend, it was no wonder God said, that a priest can only be a priest and never a king. It was no wonder that God said a king could be a king but never a priest. It's no wonder again that that man by the name of Uzziah got in trouble. You say, why? Because God was preserving this. God was reserving this office. God was holding it so that He could honor His Son, give Him the preeminence and prominence that is due His holy name. Not only that, but His priesthood. It was, listen friend, it was also superior to that of Aaron. You say, how? Well, I probably done told you, but I'll just repeat it in a different way. Bless God, death did not end or change it, thank God. The sacrifice that He offered and gave was perfect. It was complete. It was final. Isn't it amazing? He was both the offerer and the offering. He was the priest, thank God, and yet He was the propitiation. He was the propitiator and the propitiation. Big old theological words. Ah, listen, friend, the heavenly here versus the earthly in service. And He was the one without beginning of days and without the end of life. And listen to what Hebrews 10 and following says. I love this. He said, by which will we are sanctified through the offering of one of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifice which can never take away sin. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sin, forever sat down on the right hand of God. Verse 14, for by one offering He hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. I say glory, hallelujah, thank God. Aaron had an earthly ministry. Aaron had an earthly place to minister to and offer sacrifices at. But our high priest, made after the order of Melchizedek, made after the order of an endless life, made after the order of an unchangeable priesthood, thank God, listen, He did His offering in the heavenlies, hallelujah, and then He sat down. Let me give you another one really quick. My time's going way out before I get done with the message. Bless God, listen, this priesthood speaks of the power that a resurrected life can give. I love that, don't you? I love that, thank God. You say, how do you know? Well, Revelation 1:18, I believe it is, says, I am He that liveth and was dead, but I'm alive forevermore. And I've got the keys of death and hell. In Genesis chapter 14, verse 18, when Melchizedek met Abraham after he'd returned from retrieving Lot and all the goods of Sodom and Gomorrah, He met him, now watch this, with bread and wine. Do you know what Jesus did when He set up and established a memorial to look back at His death, burial, and resurrection? He chose bread unfermented and wine unfermented. Thank God, bread unleavened and wine unfermented or unleavened. No sin in them. No rottenness. No corruption. Thank God. And you know what that speaks of? It speaks of Him that was dead, but He's alive, and He's alive forevermore. Listen, the Aaronic priesthood, it was weak in that Aaron and all of those like him died. I mean to tell you, listen, that order of Aaronic priesthood, it wasn't very stable. Do you know that? I mean, it had its failure. I mean to tell you, it was frail from the beginning. There was a frustration day by day. You say, why? Because they had to offer again and again and again the same sacrifices that could never take away sin. But once in the end of the world, thank God, this one who was like Melchizedek, and the Messiah, He offered His own blood. He offered His own self without sin. Thank God to God Almighty who recognized it. Bless God, it satisfied Him and that allowed God to redeem sinners like me and you. Listen, that order of Melchizedek, it would be superior. Do you know that? It was through Abraham, thank God, that Aaron and his sons paid tithes to Melchizedek. And oh, friend, listen, we're talking about the one that received tithes. But can I ask you this? I gotta close. I've done too poor a job with something that's absolutely remarkable. But let me ask you a question. Do you know this Messiah? Do you know this Deliverer? Do you know this Anointed One? Do you know Jesus Christ, the Son of God? Do you know Him as your Savior? Have you repented of your sin? Have you trusted in the work that He accomplished at Calvary? Are you wanting living under the life that He now lives? Listen, He started a work at Calvary. He's continued it on the throne. And if you'll call on Him today, He'll save you. If you'll come to Him right now and say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner, you know what He'll do? He'll save you. The Bible said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The Bible said, he that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Run to Him now. Go to the Messiah. Go to the Messiah that's like Melchizedek, and He'll make you a new creature in Christ. Until the next time.
You are my Savior.
Thank you, friend, for listening to Inspirational Truths today. It is our prayer that the message and the song has been a blessing to your soul and has in some way ministered to your heart. We hope that you will make plans to join us every week at the same time. If you have a special request that you would like us to know about, please feel free to write us and we will be sure to pray about your request, whatever it is. If you'd like to contact us, our address is Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. That's Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. Or on the web at TOMANDDEBBIE at inspirationaltruths.com. That's Tom and Debbie at inspirationaltruths.com. Remember, friend, this is a work of faith. We need both your prayers and your listening ear. Now until the next time, it is our prayer that God will richly bless both you and yours.